Pastor Marios and Danielle Ellenis and their family here with us this evening. Pastor Marios, the Lord knit our hearts together a number of years ago, and they are in Old Saybrook, Connecticut, at the other end of the coast of Connecticut. So we have one end covered, they have the other end covered. And for a period of several years now, the Holy Spirit has been pouring out in wonderful ways. I want to tell you, Pastor Marios and Danielle took Valley Shore Assembly of God when it had dwindled down to about a dozen people. And it was a church that should have been put out of its misery. But how many of you know Jesus loves his church? And God blessed them and sent Pastor Marios and Danielle, and the Holy Spirit began moving in revival, in healing miracles, wonderful visitations of the Holy Spirit. The church exploded with growth. They've just expanded their building. They're in two services, and the Lord is just using them to reach that whole upper region of Connecticut. Marios and I have had the privilege of traveling together and doing some ministry overseas. He's been here to minister to us before, and he has a word from the Holy Spirit that God has given to him especially for us. He's the author of three books. His latest book, Government Collision, was just published, and I think he's brought some copies with us this evening, and he's going to tell us a little bit more about it. But I want you to get up on your feet, and I want you to give your best welcome this evening for our dear friend, Pastor Marios Ellenis.
Thank you. Thank you. I don't do the false humility thing that it wasn't for me and it's Jesus. It was for me and I appreciate it. Thank you. He would receive it and give glory to the Father. Later, he would say, they gave me something that belongs to you. That's what Jesus would do. So we have till 10 to tread water. So good to see you tonight. I'm really just taking a moment to look at you because I'm so stirred by hunger, by hungry people that desire more. We sang about the Holy Spirit. We welcomed him here. He welcomed me when I walked through the doors tonight. Pastor Glenn and I came a few minutes after worship had begun, and the Holy Spirit welcomed me at the door. When I talk about him, I'm not talking about a force that just makes things happen. I'm not talking about the member of the Trinity that serves the others as the perception has become. I'm talking about God, the Holy Spirit, that has relationship with us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, the 17th verse, the world does not know him because it does not receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he dwells with you and will be in you. The Spirit of truth who brings to remembrance everything Jesus taught us. The one who declares to us what the Father has given to Jesus. All things that the Father has, Jesus said in John 16, are mine. But the Holy Spirit will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is one with whom we can have relationship. In Acts chapter 16, when they said, it seems good to us and to the Holy Spirit, they were talking about the person with whom they had relationship, the one that breathed on them, the one that moved in them and through them, the one who caused their shadows to heal the sick. They had a personal relationship with the person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. And he is here right now. I feel his presence. It's not a matter of, is God going to move tonight? Is he going to do something in this place? It's a matter of, what is he doing so we can align with it, so it can come forth the way he wants it to come forth? He's already moving. He's already stirring. It's just a matter of seeing what he's doing and speaking what he's saying so he can accomplish his purpose. Say this with me. This is Psalm 75 verse 1. We give thanks to you, Lord. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. We give thanks to you, Lord. We give thanks for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. I'm so glad that Fort Bragg is tuned in tonight. Bless you. Bless the warriors at Fort Bragg. Hallelujah. Because that verse brings back a memory of something that happened, a phenomenon that took place 30 years ago. 30 years ago from right now, a movie was released about this man named John. And John was a Vietnam veteran who had returned from Vietnam after fighting. And he was an amazing warrior. He was an ultra warrior. He'd been trained to be able to do amazing things that only in the movies you're able to behold. And this man, John, came back to visit the widow of his partner, of his friend from the war. And he walked into that town and he wasn't received well. The sheriff of the town actually took it upon himself to give John a very hard time. And they pushed him and they mocked him and they ridiculed John to the point where he snapped. They actually took him into custody and they started to torture him, and memories came back of what happened to him in Vietnam, and he just kind of lost it, and then they lost their branch, and then he was out on the mountains. Perhaps you're starting to get a hold of what I'm talking about. And this man, John, was up on the mountain and they sent out an entire army to try to find him, but he was so well trained, he was able to avoid them and to elude them, and he ends up in a cave. And he's in this cave that is just endless. And they thought, for sure, he's dead. There is no way out of that cave. He is lost. And after so many days of searching, they figured he's gone. And they started to announce in the news that this man John is dead. This threat to society is dead. But the man who trained him, the Green Beret commander who had trained John, was watching this whole time. And what happened a few days later, after they wrote him off, John, who was not dead and was alive, showed up in the town that did this to him. And I'm not talking about what we should do. We need to forgive. But this is what John did. He tore the place to pieces. And the commander who was watching the news and seeing things blow up and gas stations blow up and police cars blow up and the branch where they tortured him blow up and all these things, he said, "That is John Rambo. He is not dead. He is alive. I'm telling you, this work could only be done by John Rambo." And I tell you, when I look around what God is doing in this place and what is happening all around because of what's happening in this place, I can tell you we give thanks to the God who is alive because his wondrous works declare that his name is near. Just like that commander said, the name of John Rambo is not dead. It's him. He's here. He's in town. He's doing stuff. I'm telling you, God is here. He's doing stuff. He is moving from one end of the room to the other end, from the front to the back. And if you have that tendency to want to be in the back or do you want to be in the front or do you want to be in the middle because that's who you are, I'm telling you, he can get you wherever you are tonight. He's going to get you wherever you are because he has a plan and he has a purpose and you are aligned with it right now by being here because you're hungry. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 What an honor to be with you tonight. Thank you so much for welcoming us, Pastor Glenn. I honor you. We have such a great friendship and a deep bond between us. It transcends ministry. It transcends the things we do. It's who we are. And I'm so deeply grateful that you entrusted me with the pulpit tonight in this great move of the Holy Spirit. 5:30, last Thursday morning, I woke up with a word. And I was for sure I was going to preach it at our church on Sunday because I felt it was a word from the Lord for that time and for that season. And the Holy Spirit, with whom I have relationship, the person, whispered in my spirit and said, "This is not for Valley Shore. This is for Harvest Time Church and the Greenwich Outpouring." And I said, "Well, Lord, I'm not speaking at that." Do you ever talk back to God? How many would just be honest and say, "I talk back to God. Even though he's always right and I know it, I still talk back to him." And I said, well, Lord, I'm not speaking at the Greenwich outpouring. And he says, yes, you are. 2 hours later, Pastor Glenn called me and invited me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I knew that this word was for this house, for this hour, for right now. Would you turn your Bible to Psalm 26, just one verse? I haven't just memorized this verse. It's a part of me. It's in every fiber of my being, but I want to read it from the Word of God because there is power in reading and declaring the Word of the Lord from the Bible. Psalm 26, verse 8, just one verse. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. When I heard what happened here on Mother's Day, I started to shuffle things around just like you have, maybe even tonight to be here. I started to move things around on my schedule because it is a busy time. And Pastor Glenn alluded to this the first night that I was here after the move of God broke out, that this wasn't maybe the most convenient time for this to happen. And everybody has graduations and things going on. But look at you. You are here because you are hungry and you're full of fire and passion and you want more. And God honors that. So I began to shift things around because I wanted to come. And I didn't want to come to check it out. I didn't want to come to make sure that everything that is done here is in the Bible. I didn't want to come as the revival police or some kind of expert that understands moves of God's and wants to just partake of this and be a connoisseur. I didn't want to come just to even get something. I wanted to come because I knew, I sensed it in my spirit. And the moment I walked in, I felt it in the natural that this is now a place. A place where the glory of God is manifest in a fresh, in a living, in a life transforming, in an empowering way. I came because I knew that the Holy Spirit's presence was manifest. He's always been here, and I've been here several times before, and He's always moving, and He's always doing amazing things. But there was something special that happened on Mother's Day. There was a fresh wind that blew in. It was something that we've been praying for decades, some of us. It's something we've been crying out for, and I knew that this is that. And that this house, which is already a place where God is honored, where the name of Jesus is exalted, where the people of God walk with honor and with hunger and with passion and with Christian fellowship, such as in the book of Acts. I knew that even so, something had happened to even make that great congregation, this great pastor and his leadership team, the great people of this church, this community, to transform it forever. I realized that this is now one of those places. Pastor Denise, I honor you. It's so good to see you. Throughout the Bible, there are places. Sometimes it's just a desert place, like the one where Moses was standing. I promise you, he had been there before. He had brought his sheep there before. He had brought the livestock of his father-in-law, Jethro, there before. He had walked on that same ground before. But all of a sudden, one day, that place that was just commonplace, that area, that wilderness, that backside of that desert, all of a sudden became a place where the angel of the Lord said, take off your feet the sandals that you are wearing, because the ground that you are standing on is holy ground. What happened? There was a manifest presence in that place of the invisible realm, of the supernatural realm, of the glory realm. And it transformed that place into a place that changed him, Moses, into a place. Remember how you used to have to go up to the mountain and be with God for 40 days and not eat and not drink and be with God in that place of the glory of God, that it would just come upon him and overshadow him and surround him? When he's standing in front of Pharaoh, I promise you, he didn't go back up on the mountain again to figure it out, because he had become the place, because he had been in the place. And there's these places like the one where Abraham closed his eyes, because it says later he opened them, and he lifted up the knife to slay his son, to obey God who said, sacrifice him to me. And the angel of the Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, Abraham. The Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on this boy or in any way harm him. And it says he lifted his eyes, and behind him a ram was caught in a thicket. And he sacrificed the ram instead of Isaac. And then he said, this place will be called the Lord will provide. Because it was no longer just a place where you offer a sacrifice. It was a place where God visited those who came to offer the sacrifice. He manifest himself in a way with an audible voice. He spoke and he said, this is no longer what you even thought it was, what you honored me to come here to accomplish. This is a place that you need to name something. Like Jacob named the place where he put his head on a pillow and saw angels ascending and descending, which means they were already here. Just a thought. And he saw a ladder propped up from the earth to the top of the heaven. And God was on top of that ladder and the angels ascending and descending. And he had an encounter with God. And it says in Genesis 28 verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. He was aware that that place where he found a rock for a pillow, the place where he laid and he had that encounter, was a place that was unlike any other place he had ever been, unlike any other place he had ever heard of, because in that place there was a supernatural manifestation of the glory, of the power, of the preeminence, of the stature of God. Everything changes when you come into that place. You become a place. And you begin to operate from a place. It's important for God to move in certain places and to bring a transformation to some places, to manifest himself in a certain way, in a certain place, so that the people who go to that place, congregate to that place, can be changed and become the place. What place? A temple. The temple. Do you not know, Paul said, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? What is that? It used to be a tabernacle that they used to strike and they used to carry and they used to follow a pillar of night, a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day, and they used to just pitch this tent and set it up every time. But then that wasn't God's plan. And David thought, well, I'm going to build God a house. I want to build God a house. And in 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 7, he talks to Nathan the prophet and says, I want to build God a house because my house is built. It's amazing. In fact, let me read it for you. It came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. It's very significant. Very significant that when he had rest from all the wars, he didn't just coast. He didn't just try to get comfortable. He wanted to do something for God. He wanted more. Just like those of you who came last week and got so blessed by what God did, you knew that there is more for this week. You knew that there is more for tonight. And you're here because you realize that this God is continually moving. He's continually stirring. He is not done with this. I'm telling you, He is not done with this. This is just the beginning of that candle effect of fire starting everywhere. And David knew there's more. And he knew that the more depended on establishing a place where people could come and become a place. See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Then Nathan said to the king, go and do all that is in your heart. The Lord is with you. But then the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go tell my servant David, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time I brought the children of Israel from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle." It began with a tabernacle and a tent that was always moving. And that's where the presence of God was. And that's where the people came to encounter God. It was a place that was mobile. Then David wanted to make it stationary. He wanted a temple. He wanted a place. And there was a time and there was a season for that. And he was establishing a precedent for what we have right now. There need to be a local church. Why are you looking at me like I just went over like a pregnant pole vaulter? There needs to be local church. There needs to be a building. There needs to be a place where we congregate. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. And David got it. There has to be a place. We got to set a place and we have to consecrate that place to be where God comes, where God visits the people. And I tell you, for many days while they were building and they were constructing, that place was just a place. But on the day that they dedicated it, it says that the priests could not even go in. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, the priests could not even go in. Why? Because that place just became a place. It became a different kind of place. A place where the glory of God was so thick that man couldn't even stand it. I don't know what it was. It says it was a cloud. I don't know what kind of cloud that was, but I sure would love to be in it. And I believe before this is over, there's going to be a cloud. I believe before this is all done, and God says that that season has ended, I believe there will be clouds, and there will be gold, and there will be manifestations of the glory of God that keep people out of it because it's Him doing it. Listen to me. Listen to me. Especially if you're watching this. And especially if you came to check it out to make sure this is God and all that. No, seriously. If that's the level of the development that you're in, I respect it. If you're in the checking out stage, I respect it. Some people just want to try it with their tippy toes. Some people want to go ankle deep. I respect all that. I'm diving in head first with you. But listen to me. Don't try to figure it out and say, what's God, what's not God? Is this in the Bible? Is not in the Bible? Don't figure it out. The grace of God supersedes all the things that even might go wrong. Listen, when He falls on a place, this kind of hunger that's here tonight is not something that could be stirred up by hype. Because I think every one of us would say we've done the hype thing and it just doesn't work. It doesn't go on for a month like this with just hype, friend. God's in this thing, and His grace is sufficient. Don't pick and choose, and don't try to figure out what is God, what is not God. Is He in this? Well, that person fell a little too weird. Listen, His grace that was on the apostles who didn't have a clue what they were doing, it's here. He will lead us. He will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit will say, put your foot here. Don't put your foot there. You put your foot there yesterday, but it wasn't the right place. Move it over here. Listen, He will lead the way. The most important thing is that He came. He came and He said, this will now be a place like those places. It says that the apostles, they were released from prison. This is Acts chapter 4, where they had been abused and they'd been mocked and they'd been ridiculed and questioned and grilled and grilled and grilled. Ecclesiastical council after ecclesiastical council. And they released them and they went in a place and they said, Lord, look at their threats. But now, give us boldness. Empower us to do even more than what we got in trouble for. I love that. It sounds like they weren't intimidated, Pharisees. It sounds like what you did even made it worse. It sounds like you just put enemies of the cross. You just put gasoline on the fire. Because now they ask for more boldness. And it says the place where they stood shook. It was already a place where they met in the presence of the Lord. It was already a great place. But all of a sudden, it became an even greater place because there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. like there was in the upper room. It would have just been an upper room that nobody going to Israel would have ever checked out. Listen to me. Everybody wants to go there. Everybody wants to go to the upper room. Why? Because that became a place. After 10 days of tarrying, of praying, of seeking and obeying what Jesus said to do, after those days, there came this moment, like it did here on Mother's Day, when he least expected it. I heard the testimony of how you didn't even have the most spiritual things in your mind. Many times I don't either. But we don't determine when he moves and how he moves. All that we need to determine is that when he moves, when he makes a place, when he makes a desert place filled with rivers, filled with streams, that we are drinking from them, that we are partaking of what he's done, that we are stewarding. Oh, that we would learn to steward moments like these. That we would learn to steward seasons. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you don't know how to discern the times and the seasons. He tells his disciples, the Father has ordained and apportioned seasons in his own authority. It is not for you to know them now. But friend, it is time for us to know them now. We need to discern those times and those seasons. And this is a time and a season that Harvest Times Church and the Greenwich Outpouring, listen to me, it is a place that from the core of the earth to the top of the heavens, it is a place where the glory of the Lord is here and will increasingly manifest in this place and from this place, because when we come to this place, it makes us a place. It makes us the temple of the Holy Spirit. It consecrates us even further to Him. And it makes us the people who are the place that can then ascend. Because He says that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God in His great mercy, this is Ephesians chapter 2. It says that when we were dead in our trespasses, God in His great mercy, by grace you've been saved. He made us alive with Christ and raised us together with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places. It's all about coming to a place, to become a place, to ascend to a place and to operate from that place, to administer His grace, to transform a generation. It says that David served his generation with skillful hands and integrity of heart. He led them because he understood about place. Places. Even when it was when he was a shepherd and he was shepherding the sheep, he learned that this is a place where the glory of God comes on me and I can kill a bear, I can kill a lion. He learned how to make a nothing place into a place where God dwells, where God moves, where God changes people. And then he became a place, just like Moses. He went to Pharaoh. I didn't forget where I was. And he didn't have to go back to the mountain now. He could just speak it and he could declare it because he had become a place. And the plan was temporary, tabernacle, permanent, the building. Then in the building, the place, like this place, the body of Christ, you and me come and we become equipped, we become empowered, we become transformed, and then we take it back out and it's again a moving, glorious phenomenon. It's God that invades your city. It's God that transforms your school. It's God that changes that office that you work in. It's God that touches that boss that has the disposition of a barracuda. Amazing what you say under the anointing. It's because He comes and dwells in us. And He stirs inside of us. And transforms us into the place, into the temple that carries the glory. The kingdom of God is within you. You're a live wire. You are full of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit dwells with you and is in you. You are the place. And it's important to come to the place to be refreshed, to be equipped, to be encouraged, to be built up, to learn, to grow. But then you become the place. And then you go to other places that are nothing places, and you transform them into places where the glory of the Lord dwells. It's called bringing heaven to earth, because you're in a heavenly place. It's called, you are in that heavenly place. What does it say in Second Chronicles 7:14? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from... He's not hearing from earth, is he? He's hearing from heaven. Why? Because that's where you are. He seated you with him in the heavenly places, because you are a place. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And from that place, you administer his grace to the earth, not calling it down from earth to come down. You're saying, God, I'm in heaven with you in the heavenly place. God, what are we doing? What are we saying? That's how nations get discipled. That's how healing flows. It all comes out of that place. David had a heart to build God a house. Just like Pastor Glenn, Pastor Denise, the leaders of this house, the people of this house, and all of you who have partnered with them now in this outpouring. You have such a passion to build God a house. Not just a physical structure, though that's a part of it, and it's a very important part of it. It's time to bring the if I can say it this way, the cathedrals back with the proper, the glorious buildings. Listen, did you know that your mind can only perceive so many bits per second when you look at something? But your subconscious, 40,000 times more. That means, why did God give such perfect specifications to Moses and to Solomon about how to build the tabernacle and then the temple, which we're talking about tonight? Why? Because when people come to it, when people walk there, with their natural eyes, they will behold something and it will move them in a certain way. But subconsciously, they will think, this is like heaven. This looks like something that came from another realm that I cannot see. For we do not look on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Somebody walks into the church that's glorious and is done with thought and excellence, and everything communicates. This did not come from here. This did not happen because a man had a good idea. This came because it came from a supernatural realm where things are done with that level of excellence, that kingly realm, that glorious realm, God's realm. So we go from the tabernacle, we go to the temple that Solomon built, and then Jesus comes and gives himself, sacrifices himself to give us an opportunity once again to become a place, to be impacted like Abraham was, like Moses was, like David was, like Solomon was, but to bring into this realm, that realm, to bring heaven on earth. Everything flows from that place. Everything. I'm in a sushi place with a friend of mine that I grew up with on the island of Cyprus. It's where where Barnabas came from, and Mason and the other apostles. I grew up there. My family's there. I was there a few weeks before I went with Pastor Glenn to Malaysia. We're in a sushi place. The actor George Clooney had eaten there a few weeks earlier. Very posh place. Kind of like a Greenwich place. Awesome place. They brought out things in boats and gondolas and just amazing fireworks and some of those, you know, like the sparklers on the sushi and fish that I never even heard of. And I'm sitting with two men who are tycoons in business and have influence politically, who are powerful men. One of them I grew up with, the other one was his guest. And they're talking about this situation that happened on the island, that the president had made a mistake, and all the people were angry at the president because it was a very costly mistake, and everybody was talking about impeaching the president, impeaching the president, impeaching the president. It was in the news. I had just gotten there. I didn't know what was going on. These two men have the president come to their house once a year for their name days. They're personal friends. They have his cell phone. I'm sitting across from them, and I'm aware that there's an opportunity here to do what? To do what Jesus said to do when he said, go, therefore. I give you all the authority. All the authority is mine. He said, go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples of all nations. There's an opportunity now to disciple a nation. Discipling a nation is not just putting up a tent and bringing the whole nation there and preaching to them. Discipling a nation is influencing those who have influence. And I was in front of the influencers, friend. What do you say in a meeting like that? You weigh your words and you ask the person of the Holy Spirit with whom you have relationship to give you just the right thing to say, because in that moment what you say can establish the sushi place into a place where people are open to God. And I just listened to them as they went back and forth and talked about what the media was saying and talked about what this politician was saying and talked about what that person was saying. And I just heard it and listened to it. And I said, Holy Spirit, I just need one word from you. I just need one word from you. I know how these things can go. I just need one word. And he breathed one word into me, the word constitution. And that's all I needed. I knew what he meant. And I looked at my friend and I said, I have something to contribute. And this friend looked at me and said, ah, the American will now speak, kind of like mocking. What can the American boy say to us? Because they, anyway. I said, does your constitution make provision for you to impeach the president for making a mistake? They're like, what do you mean? I said, does your constitution make provision for you to impeach the president of this land? Because he made a mistake. He says, well, where are you going with this? I said, well, here's where I'm going. If it doesn't make provision for that and you do that, you're going to establish a precedent you may not be able to afford later. If you start impeaching people because they made a mistake, you're going to have 15 presidents within 2 years because everybody makes mistakes. I know this was a big one. And all of a sudden, it was like the room where Jehu was anointed king. Something shifted. It was in the atmosphere. It wasn't Marios Elenas. It wasn't my friends. It wasn't the sushi. Something shifted because those words are kingdom words. They come from the word of God. It's just a different time in a different season, and it's packaged differently. But those were words of life. You don't throw somebody out because they made a mistake. You have a due process, and you have a constitution, and you need to follow order. That's why Uzzah was struck when he put his hand on the Ark of the Covenant. He was out of order. And the whole thing David was doing was out of order. Read about it in your Bible. The rest of the time I spoke. Because they said, what else should we do? And I went from being a guest to the sushi place to actually telling them what I thought they should do. I said, you need to get some guys like yourselves. And all of a sudden it was like when Joseph came out to just interpret the dream, and he interprets the dream, and then he says, here's what you need to do. And he starts to tell them how to prepare for the famine, how to store the grain during the time of plenty. And he starts to disciple that nation, to disciple that Pharaoh. And I said, what you need to do is you need to get about 15 guys just like yourselves, successful in business, successful in law, successful in finance, successful in medicine. Whatever field they are in, they're excellent in it. And they don't desire political office. They're not looking for 5-year terms, 4-year terms. And you need to pull them together. And you need to disciple your president. You need to support your president. You need to be his kitchen cabinet, like Andrew Jackson had one in the 1830s and 40s and so forth. You need to have that kind of kitchen cabinet. And all of a sudden, Marios, the American boy from America, is speaking to these guys that are going to call the president on their cell phones and tell him, here's what I think we should do. And that's what they're doing. Listen, you can disciple a nation if you're aligned right, if you're in a place where you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying and you recognize, I am carrying something. I am a vessel of God. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not intimidated by their wealth. I'm not intimidated by their notoriety. I'm not intimidated by their influence. The God who created everything lives inside of me. His name is Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Savior, God, the Father. He's inside of me. I got something. I'm going to release it and make this place a place where the glory dwells. So I came with the assignment to tell you this. I don't know I don't know for how long this will go in the magnitude of this revival, though I believe it's significant. This outpouring is significant. But I do know this. From Mother's Day of 2012, for as long as there's a church here, from the core of the earth to the top of the heavens, this is a place. This is a place. It is that place where the glory of God impacts people to make them a place that can transform the landscape of their generation. You had a heart to build God a house like Solomon did. And a beautiful house at that. And it is important for us to go back to those times when cathedrals and beautiful buildings are built to glorify God so people can walk in and say, this is God. But listen to me. This is the word of God to David and to this house and to this outpouring. You had a heart to build God a house. But God said to Nathan to say to David, I will make you a house. I will make you a house. And he wasn't talking about a building anymore. They weren't talking about a structure anymore. When God said, I'll make you a house, he was talking about a generational blessing that would go on. That when even men acted like fools, God still blessed it because of David. God was speaking about a house, a family name that would stand in the generations to where when there's two blind men crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. When the blind Bartimaeus was there and he was saying, Jesus, son of mercy, son of David, have mercy on me. He called him son of David, even though his father's name was Joseph. That kind of name. And it's not about a person and it's not about even a name of a church. It's about a name where his name is glorified. He's establishing it. I'm hearing the wheels of heaven locking and he's establishing this thing. He's establishing a place. It's a place where the sick will be healed just by walking in. It's a place where the FedEx guy is going to fall under the power and not know what hit him. It's a place where the widows will come to find comfort. It's a place where the orphans will be built up and sent out to the nations to bring transformation. It's a place where people will be filled with the Holy Spirit and with power without ever somebody even saying this is the time for us to seek that. It is a place where the supernatural wind of the Spirit will keep blowing and signs and wonders. I declare and I decree signs and wonders and great miracles, creative miracles in people's bodies, healings. This is a place where the dead can be raised. This is a place where anything can happen because the God who can do anything is here in this place. It is a place where people who are broken, who are in trouble with the law, who have left their wives, who have left their husbands, who've abandoned their kids will come and be transformed from a vagabond and from somebody who's running from responsibility to a place that's carrying honor, that's carrying dignity, that's carrying responsibility. It's a place that will make people places where the glory dwells. Do you receive that word? We declare it, Lord. We declare it and we decree it and we establish it tonight that this is a place. This is that place. And thank you, God, that there's leadership here that recognizes this isn't the only place, but it's a place that will empower and light fires in other places. We thank you, God. We thank you for your Spirit that's moving here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just rest in His presence right now. Rest in this place. Breathe in the air that's oxygenated by the stuff of heaven. Thank you, God, that you're in this place. That you're in this place. That you're in this place. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. I thank you that you say this is the place where the fire will burn.